Coast, 1340 KYNS.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Bad bets, $2 billion worth, lost by one division of J.P. Morgan Chase.
Backers of the financial reform law signed by President Obama say the massively bad bet by J.P. Morgan Chase is just the kind of thing they were trying to prevent. In fact, Michigan Senator Carl Levin says the law clearly says banks should not make those kinds of risky bets. But the regulations to enforce it have been slowed down and watered down after intense lobbying by banks and Wall Street firms.
This is a matter of whether or not the law is going to be abided by, first by the regulators and then by Wall Street.
This could also impact the political debate with Republicans arguing for less regulation and not more. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Some in Washington are suggesting if it wants to engage in such risky business, J.P. Morgan Chase should not be in the banking business. The loss would seem to be staggeringly bad news on Wall Street, but reaction doesn't appear too harsh. Here's market analyst Larry Swedrow.
By the time you heard the news, it's too late to react, and you don't want to panic and sell just because of that news.
Stocks are mixed. The Dow right now down 13, NASDAQ up 10 points. The lawyers for John Edwards tried to get campaign corruption charges against him tossed out today.
John Edwards' lawyers failed to convince federal judge Catherine Eagles that government prosecutors were unable to prove that Edwards broke the law by using campaign contributions to hide his affair while running for president 4 years ago. The judge listened to more than 2 hours of legal arguments before ruling that there is enough evidence for the trial to proceed. The defense will start calling witnesses Monday. Jim Grisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Police in Ragland, Alabama, investigating the death of an 8-year-old girl found hanging from a tree at her home, her 14-year-old half-brother charged with murder. Two little girls are safe back home in Tennessee. Their abductor, the man suspected of killing their mother and sister, he's dead. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman in Union County, Mississippi.
They gave it their best chance to have everybody come home alive, but in the end, they're just satisfied that the two little girls are okay, even if Mays is dead.
Adam Mays killing himself as authorities moved in. Extended federal unemployment benefits coming to an end tomorrow in a number of states, including California.
This is Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. Here in California, officials say more than 95,000 people will lose their extended unemployment benefits. The maximum number of weeks long-term unemployed will now be eligible for benefits will drop from 99 to 79 weeks. And it's all because things are improving. California's unemployment rate is slowly dropping, making the state no longer eligible for the extended benefits.
Campaigning in North Carolina today, presidential hopeful Mitt Romney whacking away at the Obama administration's economic approach.
We have the right trade policies, opening up markets for American goods, but cracking down on cheaters like China when they take away our jobs.
The president is speaking right now in Reno. This is CBS News.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Maxwell, you're on.
Cool. And so you just want me to read the script? You don't want me to do the wee thing?
Okay. Today, I'm going to talk about the new Geico mobile app and how you can manage your policy and get your ID card and customize it with your favorite Geico character. But I'm not yelling wee or anything because they don't want me to, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just saying it's my thing.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Summer celebrations are fast approaching, and with the Sherwin-Williams exterior stain sale, it's the perfect time to gear up for them. Through July 8th, Deckscape's deck stains are only $29.99 per gallon, and save on power washer rentals were available. Now you can clean, prep, stain, and seal your deck all in one day, with plenty of money left over to throw a great party on it. Woodscape setting stains are also on sale for just $31.99 a gallon. Get your stain project started today at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store, or visit sherwinwilliams.com/deck.
Here's a feel-good way to kind of celebrate the fact we still have mail delivery service on Saturdays.
Your mail carrier will be doing some extra work for a good cause.
I have a decision to make. Either pay for my medication or eat.
I can help.
We can all help those in need by participating in the National Letter Carriers Food Drive.
That public service announcement is aimed at getting people to leave a box of non-perishable foods near their mailbox, where it'll be picked up and distributed to folks who've fought on hard times. Last year, the drive brought in 70 million pounds of food nationwide. This year, organizers say the need is just as great, if not greater, in some places. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Eat fish. Don't get cancer. An analysis of 41 studies from around the world, including the United States, Norway, Japan, Finland, and China, the latest to tie fish consumption to lower rates of cancer, especially colon or rectal cancer. This analysis suggests fish eaters have a 12% lower risk of developing or dying from those cancers. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by a Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
What does hope look like? It looks like people with type 1 diabetes, whether diagnosed at 3 or 33, they hope for a future without worry. I'm Mary Tyler Moore, and I have type 1 diabetes too. The Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation is accelerating the crucial research that represents the hope for a cure. With your help, we'll find it. Please call 1-800-533-CURE or go to jdrf.org today.
It's Friday, 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 Friday. Hey, it's Friday. I'm happy it's Friday. I like Friday.
And now, here's Bill Bittica.
Thank you for all the applause. Thank you very much. You know, I have to compliment Dave Conlon and KBC because the 75th anniversary thing's going on for KBC and from 1938. And so they've done a marvelous job and putting this thing together yesterday. And so here's what's really weird. I couldn't believe the people that he found to talk to on the phone and people that came in person. So I was there for an hour from 5 to 6, but I mean, I'm listening to the thing before, and I'm listening to the thing after, and there's these people, I'm going, oh, how did he ever get their numbers? Where did he find these people again? And it was really cool. And I have to say, I got a chance to listen to some of the finest people I ever worked with, and certainly some of the very worst.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Most smokehouse barbecues would knock them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of size from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe Barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Want to improve office morale around the break room? Are you tired of hearing employees grumble about bad office coffee? There's an easy solution to this. Invite Slow Roasted Coffee's office service into your business. They're your local coffee company that features fair trade certified organically grown coffees roasted daily and delivered fresh to you so you can taste the difference. For 24 years now, this locally owned and operated family business has been serving the Central Coast. Slow Roasted Coffee believes customer service really does matter, which is why they provide 24-hour customer care. Slow Roasted Coffee's office service is perfect for the workplace as well as restaurants and lodging facilities. You'll never have a bitter cup of coffee again. Consistency, freshness, and convenience is what you'll enjoy when you call Slow Roasted Coffee's office service. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. Coffee, the original energy drink.
Hey, I don't know about that. It's really good. I'll tell you that right there. God, it's really good. Well, I don't know. The Indians were hacking around with cocaine long ago. Okay, let's do our flashback on highlight history and everything according to the Tribune today. Highlight in history on May 11th in 1862 during the Civil War, the Confederate ironclad CSS Virginia was scuttled by its crew off Craney Island, Virginia, to prevent it from falling into Union hands. On this date in 1891, the reggae artist Bob Marley died in a Miami hospital at age 36. Also, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Cats opened in London. 1987, doctors in Baltimore transplanted the heart and lungs of an auto accident victim to a patient who gave up his own heart to another recipient. Clinton House, the nation's first living heart donor, died 14 months later. 1996, an Atlanta-bound value jet DC-9 caught fire shortly after takeoff from Miami and crashed into the Florida Everglades, killing all 110 people on board. 5 years ago, North and South Korea adopted a military agreement enabling the first train crossing of their border in more than a half a century. Our birthday is today. Comedian Mort Sahl. Mort Sahl is 85. Actress, I have no idea who that is. I can't begin to pronounce her name. Country musician Mark Herndon is 57 from Alabama. Actress Martha Quinn is 53. Country musician Keith West from Heartland is 44. Actor Corey Monteith from Glee is 30 years old today. And then that other lady's, however old she is. Happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you on this really pretty Friday afternoon.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. And they're worth a call. 543-9047. 543-9047. Coastal Computers. Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Here's the thing. I had a call into Karen Vealey. She called me back, and then she said, call me back. Well, I sent her an email, said, give me a call. So she gave me a call, and then said, give me a call. And so I called her, and her mailbox was full on her phone. So I have no idea what's going on. I'm out here just struggling by myself, but doing the best I can. Let me tell you what's going on, some of the things that happened. San Francisco County, healthier than most. We're actually in pretty good shape around here. Myself not included necessarily. San Francisco County is ranked the 13th healthiest California county out of the 56 ranked in an annual report by the University of Wisconsin Health Institute and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Why these people are involved in this, I have no idea. California, Marin County is rated the healthiest, with Trinity County coming in last. The rankings use criteria including death rates, health factors such as drinking and smoking, pollution levels, access to medical care, and economic and educational factors. SLO County ranked healthier than average in air quality, educational indicators, a physical active population, and fewer smokers. On the non-healthy side, SLO County residents are heavier than the average drinkers, and have more than the average number of deaths from automobile accidents. In addition, California has a significantly higher number of sexually transmitted diseases than the nation, rank of 83. California ranked 399, with slow coming in at 235. So, and little bugs are out there, I got to tell you about you. What, be, where, you know what to do. And then here, this is a sentence right here. Holy cow. Templeton man, a 74-year-old Templeton man, is among four people who have been indicted on federal bribery and money laundering charges for already participating in a scheme in which associates of a lawyer hired to provide assistance to the Coachella Valley Indian tribe paid kickbacks to the attorney. Attorney Gary Edward Caval advised the tribe to create a limited liability company to purchase real estate and hire Templeton resident David Allen Heslop, as the company's manager. Caval and Heslop then recommend that the tribe hire general contractor Paul Bardos to act as the tribe's owner representative. Anyway, by the time the whole thing got done, it was a big scam. And so the guy faces 225 years in prison, which is quite a bit. I wouldn't want to go away for that long. And that's what's going on at CalCoastNews.com today. We will have Jim D, and I'm pretty sure he didn't call and say he wasn't at 105. In the meantime, in between time, you can go to CalCoastNews.com 24/7. Things pop up all the time. And if you go to Talk is Cheap in the upper right-hand corner, you can listen live as we stream all day. That's it. CalCoastNews.com. Let me get the funny thing that sounds like this.
CalCoastNews.com. All right, right there. KYNS, your news station.
I don't know why it says a funny thing. I thought it up, for God's sake. I thought. Okay. All right, now. Well, let's do this. This has to be the top dog today right here. Napoleon rejects pipeline proposals, so they voted it out. So we'll see where this is going from now on. Anyway, they gave us the big no. No more details need to be said. Now, this could be the beginning of a mystery. This could be like, you know, Dr. Philpott in the library with a broom. Spencer's Fresh Market to leave AG location. So apparently Smart and Final wants to go into that location, and they're offering to pay more money than John Spencer is paying right now for the lease. So they've said, okay, fine. So now John says he's looking for, and I've had no contact with John, so he's looking for something, this is according to the article, something elsewhere in the South County that he's looking around. But there are three Spencer's locations there are three Scolari's locations all of a sudden are vacating. So, or four. Is it four? Three or four? Three. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what's going on. Okay? There's already rumors to the effect that something's going on right there. Okay, let's discuss Time Magazine's new cover. And your point is what? They have a woman who is breastfeeding, standing up, a 4-year-old son who's breastfeeding. It's not prurient in any way. It's not sexy in any way. It's nothing like that. It's a little bit startling, which I assume that's what they wanted to do, was to startle people and say, here, you haven't seen this before. And they're right, I haven't. And the whole reason they did it was they have, a whole column in there, which I haven't got to yet, about attachment parenting, which apparently is you breastfeed your child until he's 18, 19 years old, if you want. Everybody sleeps with each other. It sounds like quite the discomfort to me. But anyway, that's the whole idea. Is you're in touch with your child all the time. You're in touch with your child all the time, and supposedly. They said it does better thing. There's a guy, a doctor, that wrote a book or something. He said it's better for you. Things sort of turn out better. It's a little rough when you go to elementary school and you got your mom with you because you got to breastfeed every now and then, you know. And I'm sure the other kids are going, you know, there's something kind of weird about that. So that's a little, you know, people don't like to be teased, and yet here you are. All right. So anyway, it's this big deal, which I guess Time Magazine wanted to sell some magazines, so they did something. It's a big deal. Please, it goes back to the thing we were talking about yesterday. We're all grown up. It doesn't show anything. Who cares? Who cares? Move on. There's nothing to see here. Move on. Then this is the hoot of all hoots. The world isn't ending after all, you know, because guess what they did? They went and found a cartography room with maps and calendars and all kinds of stuff all over the floor. And it turns out that the Mayans believed that we're going on for thousands more years. What did I say to you about the Mayan calendar? I said, there's only so many years could fit on one rock. Well, now they found some other rocks. But it could still end. I don't know. I mean, you know, things could happen. They could be bad, I guess. They're really into it. Maybe it's because the movies came out about all these asteroid things and all that kind of stuff, you know, and 2012. And maybe because of that, I'm not sure. But all of a sudden, asteroids are in the scientific community news, you know, like what kind of a thing should we do? So there's the most obvious way they feel right now is that you would just atomic bomb it and pulverize it and hope for the best. But they have some other thing where they send up some kind of a rocket thing that, attaches itself and then slowly pushes it into a different orbit or different path. But it has to be, you know, with enough time before it actually gets to us. I can't spend time worrying about this. I don't have time. Okay, I don't have time. Templeton High principal asked for cash. So you might be saying to yourself, say what? Really? Templeton High School principal Thomas Harrington is taking an unusual approach to fundraising, asking parents for money directly. He's requesting that families donate at least $50 apiece to support a variety of student programs affected by state and federal funding cuts. Templeton High has already received quite a few checks from the folks eager to help, he said. We try to keep the cuts as far away from the classroom as possible. But here here's what happened, and this is this constant thing about if you go to the national teat, there in Washington, D.C., and affix yourself to that. And now you may say, but Bill, this is attachment to parenting. Maybe, but now look what's happening. You know what I mean? Federal government's don't have any money, so you don't get any money. So now the programs that everybody started don't work. And the question becomes how, which is obviously the question. So we're going to have Romney and Obama, you know, yapping about this from now till November. So the question becomes, how is it we do fix it? You know, how, what is it we do? And so, and what's interesting, I find, to tell you the truth, is we go to Europe and everybody meets in Europe and they say, we say the Greeks, we say the Spanish, and Spanish are best. We say, you know what? You have to have an austerity program. You have to kind of suffer before you can get back to where you need to be. You know, we suffered with a recession, but we didn't really have an austerity program, unless you call austerity, you know, not have enough money to spend and people being laid off. But that's not really what it's about. So if we're not willing to do what they're not willing to do, how are we actually going to make it better? The first thing, of course, I would say is we've got to get off the big Washington teat and say enough, 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 enough. It's not what they're there for. All right. Same-sex marriage shifts campaign focus. So as you can imagine, the political cartoons had to do with Joe Biden. You know, the president was evolving, you know, he was evolving, and then all of a sudden, the Lucy of vice presidents, Joe Biden, goes, I'm all for it. Yeah. And the president could have said, well, he's for it, I'm not sure, but I'm evolving. He could have gone with that and, you know, didn't have to jump right on the bandwagon, I guess. But Smoking Joe, he let the cat out of the bag. So that's where it went. So now Obama has to worry about, you know, how's the black ministerial-type vote going to go. They just have to worry about how the vote's going to go. I don't want to talk about voting anymore. All right. Internet crime cost an average victim $4,187, according to a report. So they're saying it's really bad. So one of the things, of course, I guess you can do is LifeLock and all that kind of stuff. I have to admit, I'm still amazed at it. I don't know if people are crazy enough to click on these things or not. But when I look at my spam, I must get four or five spams a day that are the Honorable So-and-so wants to discuss a settlement with you. And why don't you click on here? I mean, it's just, there's so many of them. I'm trying to think if I ever saved anything in spam. I don't think so. I just have it go its own way. Goodbye, goodbye. Sorry, goodbye. That's the way it is right there. No need. All right. Other things though going on. We had a big high speed chase in San Luis Obispo, and the guy finally crashed on Monterey Street off ramp after exiting southbound 101. The CHP did not release further information about the incident, but there's a little blue car that didn't make it very far. The people, I guess maybe people are either on something or drunk, both same thing, same idea. They're on something, or they maybe panic or something, because they're not a person in a normal frame of mind would never, especially if I look at this little tiny car here that's got a one-cylinder engine, say to themselves, I'm pretty sure I can get away from the cops and the CHP. No sane person would say that to themselves. Yeah, what do we got here? Oh, Spears reportedly joining X Factor. You have Howard Stern's going to be on America's Got Talent, and there's big to do. But the good thing, you know, this amount of publicity these things generate is so flippin' amazing. It's so just absolutely amazing, you know. I mean, it's worth millions of dollars to have the people, all these networks go, oh, my God, and have people that, you know, don't like Howard Stern go, oh, my God, and Britney Spears, oh, my God. You know, it's worth millions, absolutely millions of dollars in advertising to have people do this stuff. So here we go again. Britney Spears is coming to the rescue of Fox's The X Factor, the singing contest in search of a ratings boost. Called to Spears' publicist, was not returned. X Factor debuted in the fall to ratings that fell short of creator Simon Cowell's sky-high predictions. The shadowy show slate was wiped nearly clean in January when judges Paul Abdul, Nicole Scherzinger exited along with host Steve Jones. That left Cowell and music producer Antonio L.A. Reid as judges on X Factor, which is based on Cowell's hit UK series. So now they brought in Britney Spears. Got to pay her some dough. Okay. So These things, I'm not going to say that they're never interesting. I'm not going to say it's not interesting to see someone who comes from total obscurity in a short length of time into absolute fame. You know, Carrie Underwood's a good example. You know, they got these people. But I think it's designed, I mean, I'm pretty sure, it's designed for like a younger audience than I am. I think, you know, because I'm not going to sit and wrap spellbind in, you know, a coma over, you know, watching people sing. Yeah, the world's not going to end in December, crazy people. I sort of had a feeling this was coming. Because actually, you know what? What if they actually didn't really find something else, and the people that are scientists actually believe in, and anthropologists and all that stuff, archaeologists, what if they actually believe that it is going to end in December? They had to have some way to get people to stop thinking about that, because, you know, people don't spend as much money, you know, I don't know why they think of what they're saving it for, but people tend to, you know, they become more conservative when they think the end times are coming. And so, you know, they don't want that. You know, they want people out spending their dough and whatnot. So I think they had to come up with this bogus thing idea. Romney apologizes for pranks. Stop. Can we please do stuff that matters to this country, please? Here's this is almost like, you know, can't believe you're reading it. All right, a bill, a doctor's note is not in bill. There's a bill. There is a bill, not bill. There's a bill, you know, a legal bill. A doctor's note needed to skip vaccines. Measure requires parents who don't want to vaccinate their kids to get a physician's waiver saying they received info about the risks. So you know, you've been sitting around saying to yourself, how can I make some extra money, you know, for Christmas and whatnot? And, you know, do I want to join a, you know, a Christmas club and everything? Start writing notes that people can purchase and have a very official doctor's signature that nobody can recognize. You can sell them. You have to have a note. A note from your doctor? That's going to work. That's going to be good. I have people in the news. Other things are going on. Okay. Here we are with our high-speed rail again. You know, the high-speed rail, talking about high-speed rail is for Central Coast residents is about kind of like bringing up the Los Osos sewer all the time. After a while, you just go, I'm really tired of this. I don't care. Concerned about possible delays in state funding of high-speed rail, U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood told California leaders Thursday that the legislature needs to send a signal that it is committed to the project by including money for it in the state budget to be approved next month. LaHood traveled to Sacramento for meetings with Governor Jerry Brown, legislative leaders, and some lawmakers who are questioning whether to continue funding for the $68 billion project for which the federal government has pledged $3.3 billion. And we'd have to come up with the other, you know, $64.5 billion. Could you, somebody check the state's account? I don't think we have $64 billion.
One night with the hilarious Wanda Sykes. May 17th, 8 p.m., Shumash Casino Resort.
Black folks, we always got to be dignified. Yeah, because we know if we f*** up, we just set everybody else back a couple of years, right? Well, we should have killed Flavor Flav like 10 years ago.
Tickets are on sale now at Club Shumash, ShumashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737. The one-of-a-kind, smart-witted stand-up of Wanda Sykes.
What if I suspect I have hearing loss? Make an appointment to see an audiologist. They'll perform a comprehensive hearing evaluation to determine the type and severity of the hearing loss you may have. Hearing impairment not only affects your ability to understand speech, it can also have a negative impact on your social and emotional well-being. Wear ear protection, such as earplugs or earmuffs, when you're attending a loud concert or using firearms, power tools, or lawn equipment. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott, Hearing Aids and Audiology.
For three decades now, slow-roasted coffee has been waking up the Central Coast. Most of you already know that your local grocery stores carry slow-roasted coffee, but I'll bet you didn't know that you can now shop directly at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. That's right, walk in the door and you might smell the beans a-roasting. When you shop at Slow Roasted Coffee, you'll find an expanded variety of coffee choices. And when you buy a 10-pound bag of your favorite coffee blend, you'll save an additional 10%. One more good thing, you'll receive two free samples with your order. So come on by and see for yourself where slow-roasted coffee comes from. You can shop weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Just give them a call in advance, please. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. And they'll have your order waiting for you. Find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Slow Roasted Coffee, a tradition that tastes great.
Was that? And can we make it happen again? That's the thing I wonder about right here. Let's do this right here. A many splendid thing, even if that recording was a little bit iffy and dicey and weird.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends.
By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great week.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
They do care. They do care. It makes such a difference where you put your loved ones. Really, there's you got to check them out. You know what I'm saying? You got to check people out, see what's going on out there, because you have a loved one and you have to if you have to put them in place. Please check it out. Hi, you're Bill Benneke. This is Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS on Friday, and we have stuff. Let's see what we got. Well, let me do this because we have lunchtime, and I want to make sure you get a hold of a good lunch for yourself. And so let's go to Spencer's Fresh Markets because they have good things for lunch. And here are just a few of the wonderful things they have today. Spencer's Chicken Peppercorn Sandwiches, $4.99 each. It's topped with a Vidalia peppercorn dressing, a jalapeno cheese roll, yummy, nummy, $3.99 a pound, fresh chicken salad. Or you just want some chicken salad, with it or instead of it. You can do that. Here's roast beef, here's provolone cheese, here's ham, there's all kinds of stuff. And they make all kinds, they take all the different boar's head meats and everything, and they'll make any kind of sandwich you want. And it'll be yummy, you'll like it, a lot. And you can then get a beverage of some kind, whatever you need to do. We haven't really done a lot of meat products here lately, so let me do these for you this week. Large barbecue oysters are $3.99, large easy peel raw shrimp, $7.99 a pound. The other one's $3.99 each, by the way. Then let me see what else I got here. Spencer's Own Blue Cheese or Apple Sausage is $3.99. Country Style Bone and Pork Loin Ribs are $1.99 a pound. Center Cut Bone and Pork Chops are $2.49 a pound. And then here, look at this thing here. That's such a good picture of it, too. It makes me want to just dive in. Harris Ranch Choice Angus Boneless Ribeye Steaks, $8.99 a pound. Harris Ranch Choice Angus Flat Iron Steaks, $5.99 a pound. And then over here in the front, they had the beef tri-tips for $3.99 a pound. So you get the Spencer's. They got all the great veggies and everything, and they got organic foods. They got everything you need right there. And so they're in San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, Morro Bay, Santa Maria, and Arroyo Grande. And we don't know what's going to happen next. You know what I mean? They're not going to be in Arroyo Grande anymore, but we're going to see what's happening. I looked up Angus beef. Because everybody uses the word Angus beef, and so somehow, as best I could tell, don't hold me to this, but from what I could tell, you sort of have to know its lineage. Does a butcher know the lineage of an animal? Or do they just, somebody says, well, this is the Angus stuff, where grandma, grandpa, everybody else was involved, and therefore it's okay. I'm trying to imagine how we do our lives. We take a lot for granted, I got to tell you that. Lineage. All right. I don't think I'm wrong about that. Lineage. All right, everything's going on. Let's check some of our headlines on CNN because I want to see what's happening today. If things pop up all the time, we better find out what's going on. they got this lady, got the flesh-eating bacteria. She went for a swim in a bad river, and she cut her leg, and got in there. And so she's already lost her leg, and now they're worried about, just crawling all over you and eating stuff. So that's not good. Okay. Other things are going on. And I don't know why the stock market hasn't reacted to the fact that J.P. Morgan lost $2 billion. stock market's changed somewhat in recent years. $2 billion. Oh, well, that's not a problem. We're not going to worry about that. That's fine. I guess we should ask this question. I suppose I should click on this one because, what am I going to tell you? Breastfeeding, how long is too long? Because here's the cover of Time magazine, Are You Mom Enough? And then this is the cover and all that with the kid. And it says right here, if you've been on Twitter or Facebook today, you may have caught the buzz about Time magazine's most recent cover. It shows Jamie Lynn Grummet, a 26-year-old mother from L.A., breastfeeding her son. This isn't your typical mom and son shot. Her son is 3. I thought they said he was 4 on the television today. What the heck, either way. Picture, and once you get teeth, it gets starting to get strange, you know what I'm saying? The picture promotes an article about the growing popularity of attachment parenting, a theory first advocated by Dr. Bill Sears and his wife Martha in their 1992 bestseller guide, The Baby Book. The Sears argue that co-sleeping baby weaning, where the baby is attached to the parent with a sling, and extended breastfeeding will help parents respond better to the individual needs of their babies. Celebrities such as, I have no idea what her name is, are promoting ideas about attachment parenting. Many moms and dads have strong opinions about these practices, especially the breastfeeding advice. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommend babies be breastfed exclusively for the first 6 months of their lives. And then what do they say? As soon as you can drink cow's milk, as soon as they can tolerate cow's milk, you're supposed to drink that. No, whatever they say. All right, so there's the thing right there. There's attached parenting. Now, here's the interesting thing. Okay, now here's the interesting thing. So stop and think about this. In many cultures, this idea of having a baby attached to you, in a sling, and then breastfeeding whenever it wants to be breastfed and all that, that's how all the third world countries do it. And look how many kids they have. I don't know if they're happy, but, So it's interesting that, a great number of societies, that's how they do it. But, once the European societies were established and so forth and so on, American, then things change. Our opinions change, I guess. And can I tell you something else? Now, I don't know if he wanted to be breastfed or not, but the kid was on TV today with his mom being interviewed. He was a little bit antsy. He was a little bit, happy. So I deserve to take care of that. Now, let's move on to other things that are probably more important than that. Because there has to be something there. There has to be a lot of things that are probably more important than that. All right, let's go here. Let's find out what the world is doing to us over here on this section of the world. Octagon Barn to exhibit ag history, which I think is great. Planners okay turning landmark into museum event center, a plan 15 years in the making, and all the people that worked on the Octagon Barn and all that stuff and for the Land Conservancy, and it's really very special. Anyway, so they're talking about the things that we could do. The project would be built in phases over the next decade or so. When complete, the barn with surrounding 6.25 acres will serve as a trailhead for the Bob Jones City of the Sea Trail, a community meeting place, and a monument to the county's agricultural heritage. I'm trying to imagine having a meeting in there. Are they going to have straw on the floor or anything? I was just wondering. All right, now, Phil Dirk says, don't fall for Big Tobacco's smokescreen. As another no on Prop 29 leaflet arrived this week in my mail, it was my second. Both are attractive with bright colors and lots of white space. Their pitch includes fretting that Prop 29 conceals bad things in fine print. One leaf mentions 4,515 words of fine print. So I checked my official voter information guide, and I found Prop 29 is full, an analysis of it by the legislative analysts. Neither was in fine print. In fact, they were in larger print than the fine print on the back of the no on Proposition 29 flyer. That fine print identified as major funding by Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds with a coalition of taxpayers, small business, et cetera. So anyway, he says, we Californians will vote on Prop 29 on June 5th. If we approve it, the price of a pack of cigarettes will increase by a bone. The price of other tobacco products will increase by comparable amounts. this isn't a perfect proposition. I'm not in love with it. I worry that raising the price of the dollar per pack may make selling black market cigarettes look profitable to organized crime, if it already hasn't. But I threw that at myself. But on the other hand, a buck a pack increase could be enough to keep some young wild would-be smokers from starting. So despite my doubts, I'm going to vote yes. So here's the issue that's been made on Prop 29, really. I mean, you have that. But, you know, can I say something? And I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. And maybe they get the butts out of the we would go anywhere to find cigarette butts when we were kids. But here's the thing. You know, people that have no money, they're on the streets, seem to smoke okay. And so I don't know, our kids are, a lot of kids are so affluent these days, especially with the kind of allowance that the lady on the radio said yesterday that you should give your kid. It's a dollar per year per day or something, per week, a dollar per year per week. So anyway, I'm not sure the dollar is going to deter them from smoking. And so now the money will go for nothing that would help the state in any particular way. It'll be they say it'll go towards more cancer research and things of that nature. Do you ever get the, you know, and some of, I'm sorry, I sometimes get the feeling that that's like a big whirlpool of money just twirling around and going nowhere. I'm sure a lot of research is being done, but there's something about me that says if we really set our minds to it, but I don't, it supports a lot of people. Loss and Nuggets route Lakers, for God's sake. So the game seven, it's going to be on Saturday. And this is interesting. You know, they had a thing here. Well, let me see what this says right here. Let's share this together right here. It says, why is Kobe great? All right, I don't think this is really hard to figure out. But why is Kobe great? Okay. And it says, well, that's too hard to figure out. Articles, too. It's a Sports Illustrated thing you're supposed to sit down and read in the bathroom. But here's the point. Kobe's just really great. But the other thing, too, that's interesting, though, is you know, the team, while Kobe was out, the team did win some games. I'll admit that. But, you know, you kind of have to admit, on most great basketball teams, you're hanging your hat on one or two people, and often it's just one. And so the Kobster is kind of, the Kobster is the Lakers. You know, just like, you know, other people are like Michael Jordan was the Bulls, and some of these other people, Larry Bird. You know, there's certain people that are just, you know, such a dominant player on their team. That's what it's about. Now, what they tried to do, Miami, they tried to get three guys at one time. They thought they were hot stuff. We'll see where that's going, but it's going so good so far, but we'll see. FCS to expand the playoffs to 24 teams. The addition of four teams to the football playoffs would begin in 2013, and so that would affect Cal Poly. So a little more. The more the merrier. And the 76ers did eliminate the top-seeded Bulls. So as these playoffs continue, some rise, some fall. Tebow says he's only working at quarterback for now with New York. He said he's the backup guy. He knows that, and he's okay with it. You know, as long as they're going to pay him the big dollars, he's fine. There's no sense in arguing with it. Right now. So that's our sports today. A little sports now and then doesn't hurt. Jim's going to be, I think, at 105, and I'm looking forward to that and talking to Mr. Jim D. about what's going on in the world. All right, other things that are going on. Slow County retains high credit rating, which is good news. Wall Street's agency evaluation to factor an upcoming bond sale the county hopes will save $2 million. So our credit rating is still good, which is nice. Here's a driver in Hearst Ranch. Wreck makes a plea deal. Range Rover was going 105 miles an hour when a crash occurred on a runway. It says. So there's a Newport Beach guy. Unbelievable. Absolutely amazing. Echoes of 19... I don't like Charles Krauthammer. I think he's just a big snot. But here we go. Echoes of 1967, Israel unites. In May 1967, a brazen violation of religious truce agreement, Egypt ordered UN peacekeepers out of Sinai, marched 120,000 troops to the Israeli border, blockaded Israel's southern outlet to the world's oceans, abruptly signed a military pact with Jordan together with Syria, pledged war for the final destruction of Israel. But that didn't work. So anyway, what they're saying now is that Israel sort of sees things going badly as far as Iran, and they're uniting, and this time behind Benjamin Netanyahu. They had an article the other day about, you know, is he the president or the king, the prime minister or the king? Who cares? Netanyahu forfeited September elections that would have given him 4 more years in power. He chose instead to form a national coalition that guarantees 18 months of stability, 18 months during which, if the world does not act to stop Iran, Israel will. And it will not be the work of one man, one party, or one ideological faction, as in 1967. It will be the work of a nation. I give him credit for a good article. Give credit where credit is due, I think. That's the right way to do it. Here we have this gay marriage thing we're going to have until hell freezes over here. And here's a political cartoon that has Barack Obama with a big, huge torch and flames coming out. And it says gay marriage. And then he's swearing under his breath. He's going, Biden. Biden. Biden made him do it, even says right there. Biden made him do it. I think Joe Biden did have some influence on what happened here. And inadvertently, as usual. This is kind of interesting, I think, right there. Honor the incredible energy of women. Why Mother's Day is outdated and should be expanded to recognize the entire sisterhood. You know, if you just recognize the entire sisterhood one day of the year, you are going to have a really, really tough marriage, I guarantee you. If that's what you do, you say, well, you know, I thank you for these things you do for me. I tell you I appreciate them. I love you for them. But I have to wait till Sisterhood Day before I can really express my feelings about that with a dollar's worth of flowers and a $2 worth of a card. You know, that's not a good idea. I don't think we really need it. I'm disagreeing with Lynn Lewis Griffith. Every day should be Sisterhood Day, and then you can still have Mom's Day, which is still a Hallmark holiday, but that's good. It's fine. It's for Mom. That's all right. It's a little time she gets a little gift. There's nothing wrong with that. How many grandkids would buy a grandma a gift if there wasn't such a thing as Mother's Day? Nobody. Kids would spend it on themselves, eating candy and whatnot. That's how the little guys are. I know some. I know how they work. A level-headed reaction to the bear. It's tough to keep cool when confronted by a growling 6-foot-tall bear, but 15-year-old Nathan Church did exactly that. When a bear showed up near a Santa Margarita park where Nathan was visiting with friends, the teenager instructed everyone to stand up on a picnic table and look big. It worked. The bear lumbered away, leaving the group shaken but safe. So that's really good. And so this word of warning to carry a picnic table with you and many friends. Then they talked about all the stuff that was in the harbor in Morro Bay, the junk. What was that junk doing in there? Well, you know, if you have to go out to the dump, it costs money. And if you just throw it in there, it doesn't cost anything. So that's what. All right. And I got the cash mob that flashed Phoenix Books. And went in there and bought all kinds of stuff, which I think it's actually kind of cool that somebody's doing that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's pretty great. That's pretty darn great. Other people in the news. They have a great article today about how much paper we still have and how many documents we still have that we absolutely don't need on paper. And we have warehouses upon warehouses of them. It's amazing. Here's a warehouse that contains roughly 10 million files and 500 million pieces of paper. They fill 90 rows of shelves, 30 feet tall, running the length of 2 football fields. The warehouse purchased 193,000 labels to set the shelving system up. Everyone wants to push digital, said this guy. I've been in the business 15 years. Paper doesn't go away. So this is actually a new thing in Medley, Florida. It opened 16 months ago. It's dedicated to digitalizing records and storing them in secure compartmentizations. They can scan millions of files in a moment. But that part of the business occupies a tiny portion of this operation, and that's what we were talking about with the other part, where they save all this paper. Now, I have to tell you something we've done. I'll confess it. Just because, you know, I figure you never know. And Nancy and I are like, you know, you can never be too sure. So we're one of these people that, unfortunately, we've kept tax records beyond anything that's reasonable that we need to keep. We keep bank records beyond anything that, but things have come up with the bank records thing that I'm sure glad Nancy kept them. But anyway, and I'm saying that to you in such a way as to say, because the banks made errors, you know, different banks have made errors, and we've had to be able to prove that we were right and they were wrong, and so far so good. But, you know, we have a lot of income tax stuff. I don't know how many years we go back on income. It's way too far. So I think now what do you do? I think you have to hire, I don't know what it costs. You know this big shredder that goes around is a truck? Super Shred, whatever it's called. And they go to businesses and whatnot, and they get all the shredding done. I have no idea what that costs. I guess I have to find out. Because what else are you going to do? You can't sit there in front of a fireplace for 50 years and burn it one piece at a time. You know, throw it in the trash. Bad idea there. So I'm not sure what you do with it. 15-year low on mortgages this last week. They down there. Other things that are going on. Here was an interesting. I heard this on the news yesterday that they were talking about. Making farmers markets fit for food stamps. Farmers markets are a popular source of reasonably priced fresh produce, but across the country, many accept only cash or checks, a big problem for lower-income shoppers using food stamps. Agriculture Deputy Secretary Kathleen Merrigan this week announced a $4 million grant for states to help implement wireless technology to allow more farmers' markets to access Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits or food stamps. Actually, there was another name for it, too. There's another kind of spiffy name for food stamps. I forget what it is. Anyway, so they're saying that basically what they should do is they should find a way to, you know, be able to collect food stamps at farmers' markets, which... Here's the thing you have to worry about. Is it going to be more expensive than it's worth? You know, it's going to be more expensive than it's worth. When they first came out with the cards, stores came out with those cards, you know, the discount cards. Originally, they were going to save, you know, all this information on people. So then if they saw you buy a lot of disposable diapers, you'd get a coupon for some more disposable diapers, so you'd buy them at that store. So that was the original idea. But because I have a brother-in-law that works, that helped invent all that crazy stuff, and he just said that you know, it was overwhelming. The amount of information that was available was overwhelming, and companies didn't really want to spend the money to sort it out. So this is another one of these examples right here that could happen. It sounds like a good idea when you look at it, but, you know, it may not really be a good idea. When it comes right down to it, it may be really, really hard to implement in such a way that it makes reasonable sense, practical sense, and monetary sense. That's just me talking, though, which is what I do for a living. All right, anything else? Okay. Oh, here's a $1 million grant to help low-income homebuyers. 25 families in San Francisco County could benefit from a $1 million state grant for first-time homebuyers, the county's Department of Planning and Building announced. CalHome funds result from passage of Prop, what is that? 1C, the Housing Emergency Shelter Trust Act of 2006. I remember that. That's the problem with these propositions. We don't remember them later on. What did we do to ourselves? How much was it? Last year, the program provides down payment assistance to low-income buyers. In 2007, San Luis Obispo County received $600,000 in CalHome funds and assisted 15 low-income homeowners with down payments. And closing costs, low-income home buyers must earn an annual gross of income of less than $60,000 for a family of four. The county plans to begin taking applications for the program by September. So these are any family working in the private sector is probably eligible. So that's, you know, you may say to yourself, wow, how many people that would be? That'd be a lot of people. A whole lot of people. A whole lot of shaking going on, I gotta tell you. All right, let's see what else I got here. See, that's what I want to talk to you about, because it's important. It's Friday. We need to find out what's going on. The heck's happening. Okay, that big bee swarm, which always scares the daylights. I think it's allergic to them. Okay. Romney's ex-roommate says it was an assault. You know. Fine, I've been assaulted myself. It's not a matter of apologizing for it, by the way. It's a matter of, it's such ancient history. It's not like molestation. It's ancient history that has nothing to do with anything. anymore. It just has, that doesn't apply anymore. That's foolish. All right, other things going on. Well, here was an interesting thing here where the people are insanely mad about the $100 carry-on bag fee, which you can imagine. See, I used to not fly because I didn't want to fly. I don't like flying. I couldn't fly now. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't get from here to Santa Maria on a plane. There's too many fees. Sit in the airport and have a beer. I'll go over to the Spirit of San Luis and just chug one back there and take my time. Let's do CBS News, and then Jim will be in, I hope.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
Making it easier to refinance. He just said these words in Reno.
I'm calling on Congress to give every responsible homeowner the chance to save an average of $3,000 a year by refinancing their mortgage.
President Obama in Reno, not mentioning presumptive GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney by name, the president says Republicans want the housing market to hit bottom and hope for the best. Romney is campaigning in North Carolina today, blasting the administration's take on the economy.
He's been borrowing about $1 trillion more every year than we take in. That is bad economics. I think it's immoral for us as well to take from our kids' future for our present benefits.
J.P. Morgan Chase loses $2 billion, making the kinds of risky investments the law is supposed to prevent. The law written by Congressman Barney Frank, who says any kind of regulation is an uphill battle.
Part of the problem, frankly, is that every time one of the regulators does something, they are sued by the industry.
Reaction to the staggering loss on Wall Street? Dow closes at 12,818, losing 37 points. J.P. Morgan Chase drops about 8% of its value. NASDAQ stays about even. Greece, the Socialist Party leader, says efforts to form a coalition government have failed. Says they'll hand the mandate back to the country's president tomorrow. A federal judge refuses to toss out campaign corruption charges against John Edwards. It means he'll have to present his case before a jury on Monday. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The big question is, will he testify? Will John Edwards, the great former trial attorney, stand up in front of the jurors and tell his side of the story? Or does the defense feel confident enough that the government's case was so weak that it doesn't want to take the risk?
Edwards pleading not guilty to 6 criminal counts related to campaign finance violations. New standards for teaching science. Here's CBS News correspondent Sam Litzinger.
The latest numbers suggest American schools have lots of room for improvement when it comes to teaching science, and now experts are out with suggested guidelines. One big goal, science education should reflect the real-world interconnections in science. Wendy Hawkins is executive director of the Intel Foundation. She says actually doing science is essential for teachers and for students.
We've got to give them the resources to be able to teach science well so that kids aren't just reading about science, they're not just memorizing formulas and so on, but they're actually being scientists.
The public now gets a chance to weigh in on this. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
FDA considering approval of the first over-the-counter HIV home test.
In 20 minutes, you have a test result, and the test result looks very much like what you would generate with a home pregnancy test, a positive and negative test result.
Doug Michaels, head of OraSure Technologies, works 93% of the time. Public health experts do estimate that 1/5 of all HIV carriers in the U.S. are not aware of their status. This is CBS News.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Hey, everyone. I'm Maxwell, and my life is kind of awesome because whenever Geico wants to talk about their new mobile app, they're like, hey, Maxwell, you feel like coming to the studio and talking about how the app lets you manage your policy, you know, and get roadside help and even customize it with your favorite Geico character? And I'm like, maybe. Are there going to be snacks?
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
This commercial has stopping power, my friends, so listen up. NAPA is offering up to a $50 mail-in rebate card with the purchase of qualifying brake products. So hurry or stop in. NAPA brakes are built to the highest quality standards and designed to improve stopping in all conditions. So come on into your local NAPA auto parts store or auto care center. $50, that's real money, my friend. Mail-in rebate available with qualifying purchase at participating NAPA auto parts stores and auto care centers. Visit NAPAonline.com for details. Offer expires 5/31/12.
It's a controversy in New York City. A Brooklyn DA adhering to the desires of an ultra-Orthodox advocacy group that rabbis need to know about sexual abuse charges first.
An advocate for victims of sex abuse in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community calls the report disturbing.
How are you going to get people to come forward if you don't release the names?
Mark Appel with Voice of Justice reacting to a New York Times investigation that found Brooklyn DA Charles Hines takes pains to conceal the names of sexual predators and allows rabbis to investigate claims of sex abuse before authorities.
And that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable to give messages out to the community that you have to go to rabbi first.
The district attorney wouldn't comment, but a spokesman for his office says he's prosecuting far more cases within the Orthodox community than in the past. Marla Diamond, CBS News, New York.
Last volume of the CIA's papers on the failed 1961 Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba remains classified. Federal judge calls it a draft, not a finished product. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
What does hope look like? It looks like people with type 1 diabetes, whether diagnosed at 3 or 33, they hope for a future without worry. I'm Mary Tyler Moore, and I have type 1 diabetes too. The Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation is accelerating the crucial research that represents the hope for a cure. With your help, we'll find it. Please call 1-800-533-CURE or go to jdrf.org today.
Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 15% on all in-stock wood fencing from pickets to panels when you buy in bulk. That could knock any fence project down to size in a hurry. And our wide selection of wood choices and styles puts everything you need within easy reach. So come in, load up, and save a bundle with up to 15% off all in-stock wood fencing when you buy in bulk. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Hi, you're Jim D. You're Bill Benneker. We haven't named this yet.
we'll come up with something. Maybe the listeners can come up with something.
Yeah, what would you like to call this?
What do you call this?
Yeah, what do you call this? Because we don't know. We discuss everything. We don't care. Here's the thing. Oh, so no, actually, next week, you know what? It's not Dodgers next week. It's I have to. I don't know. That's funny that you thought it was Dodgers next week.
It was Dodgers right. Last week. And hey, how about those Dodgers?
How about those Dodgers? Yeah. Now. There's a veterans picnic, and I guess what do you call it? Barbecue, not picnic. I still call it an icebox. My wife goes crazy. It's a veterans barbecue, and it's put on by Sam Blakesley. This will be his last, and we're going to honor those that have died in both Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Wow!
So usually they pick a particular vet, you know, from around the area, and they say, "Here, we're gonna." Crown you the guy of the year.
Well,
but I think this is a good idea.
No,
that's
a very good idea.
Very good. It's noon to 2-ish. So if you want to on, and that's the, what is that date? 18th? May 18th. If you want to show up at, that's not the name of the park, Mitchell Park. If you show up at Mitchell Park, you'll see everybody there, and it'll be GIs one. And then they have the Freedom Riders always show up to these things. You know, that's like 100 guys on motorcycles.
Oh.
I mean, it's a lot of guys.
That's great that they show up, though.
Oh, you know what they're doing? They have the, they've changed the name of this, so I have to try to remember what the name is. Welcome Home Heroes or something. It was called Welcome Home Vets, but then there was a copyright problem. So it's like Welcome Home Heroes. And so here are these people, the Tolans. They organize these meets at the airport when guys come home. And so then they put it out on email, I guess, on my email. Other people have Twitter, and then they say, "Here's the guy's coming in. Here's when he's coming in." And so all these people show up at the airports, and the Freedom Riders show up. 100 guys show up at the airport to welcome a guy home.
That is great.
Coolness, absolute coolness. All right. Now there's this little artsy film that I hear is doing quite well.
Oh, you know, called The Avengers.
Yeah.
It's doing. Better than anything. I'm curious if this is going to outgross Avatar, Titanic. Well, worldwide it might, because, you know, what was really interesting, and I'm not sure why they're doing this, the Avengers opened in Europe and in other world markets before it opened here.
Yeah.
Now, when Steven Spielberg did this with The Adventures of Tintin, I understand that, because this character, this a comic character, was known in Europe better than in this country.
Right, let's
open this in Europe. But The Avengers is open in Europe before this country. There's another special effects-laden film called Battleship that's been playing in overseas theaters before it opens here, I think, in a couple weeks. It's an interesting... I'm not sure what Hollywood is thinking, but it seems like the world markets are maybe preferable, or they get a jump on the take that they're going to get in this country.
Maybe it drives it somehow. That's interesting. Now, the guy that did Ponyo, did he release that first in Japan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yeah. You're talking about the Japanese animation.
Yes, I know you love the guy. And yeah, I remember back when we first talked about Ponyo, and you just said all these marvelous, wonderful things about the guy and everything. And so I take my niece and nephew, who are Ponyo age people, and
uh-huh.
we see the thing, and they turn around, they look at me, and they go, "What was that?"
Oh, that's too bad.
They didn't get into it at all. I don't know why.
I love some. The filmmaker's Miyazaki is his last name, and some of the stuff. Have them see this other one called Totoro.
Well, here's a problem. Let me tell you something that's happening with young people. And it's the usual thing. You know, people say, well, you know, kids watch too much violence, or they watch too much whatever. And we talked about this last week about how Star Wars, the Clone Wars thing, and how violent that is.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond the violence part, let's just ignore the violence part. It's jam-packed action. You know, from the time it hits the screen until the time it goes off, it's action, 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 action.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to notice something about my niece and nephew. They don't have TV. They don't watch regular TV. So if it's a thing like that, I tape it for them. And thank you very much, Charter, because you should go get your Charter DVR, and you can tape anything you want to whenever you want to do it. And as a matter of fact, I just the other day taped Soupy Sales.
Oh,
so anyway,
I grew up with Soupy Sales.
Oh, yeah,
one of my heroes.
But here's the thing: I'm really nervous about this because I watched one episode. I taped two episodes, and I watched the first one. I was kind of like, "Okay, did we find that real funny back then?" All right, so we'll see though. Maybe it'll catch on.
You're talking about Soupy.
Soupy.
Oh, come on.
Well, yeah.
White Fang, black tooth.
He was funniest when he was dirty, I guess. So, where was I going with this thing before we got to that? Wait, I got all out of whack there. Soupy sales.
The fact that the Star Wars.
Clone Wars. Okay, but so here's what I'm seeing. The kids, and they don't play video games either, so they don't play. I can't imagine what these kids must be like. But so these are just kids growing up without television. They do a lot of reading, you know, that kind of stuff. They do see movies. They, you know, they rent movies and stuff like that. So they do see movies, but they see a broad array of movies. But I noticed, you know, they come to my house and it's like, Uncle Bill, let's watch Star Wars 2. You know, watch, you know, Star Wars. Anything that has a lot of action is what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you put in like they didn't like Up. Because Up wasn't a cartoon that had a lot of action in it. You know, it's slow to go and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anything slow to go, they don't care for. Unless they get gratuitous satisfaction pretty quick in the cartoon or the movie, forget it. They didn't like Cars. I'm going, you have to be kidding. This is so much fun. Cars, it's Cars.
How old are they?
8 and 10.
Oh, well, give them a little time.
You think that's it?
Give them some time.
No, then they'll just be crazier. And the very first thing that happens has to be somebody diving off a building before they look at it. I'm not sure. Right? It's weird. It's just kind of crazy to me.
Well, there's, you know.
What else is out there that's doing any good? Anything we should talk about?
Well, what's interesting, this week will be Dark Shadows, which is based on soap opera that actually my wife loved when she was in high school. She, or even junior, she would run home to see Barnabas Collins and... You know, this very early, I mean, vampires are everywhere these days. So maybe moviegoers will go, oh, gee, another vampire movie. But, you know, back in the 60s, this was a soap opera that was on every day. And it was about a vampire. And Jonathan Frid played Barnabas Collins. And he just died recently. It was kind of sad because he has a cameo in this new film directed by Tim Burton and with Johnny Depp playing his character.
Right.
And I think he was I think he was 87. And he was able to do a cameo in this one. But I kind of know about the show through my wife. And it looks like they're really camping it up a bit. It's like your vampire from the whenever he was in the 70s with, you know, sort of the hippie generation and so on and so forth.
Well, what was it, the barber, happy barber of Elm Street? What was it that Johnny Depp played here a while back? He reprised that role.
Oh, why can't I think of that title? But it's another Tim Burton film where he...
Well, this is interesting about it. I'm beginning to realize something. You, somehow, I have kind of clocked into Quentin Tarantino. Now, and some people you just don't have to work at it at all. You know, I mean, there's some people that are just so darn good, you know, Bruckheimer and some of those people that you watch the movie and you love it right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But... You don't care for Quentin Tarantino's stuff. And I can understand why some people might not, or a lot of people might not. But I'll tell you, the person I'm having trouble tuning into really is Tim Burton. He's, I think Johnny Depp is a marvelous actor, and I think that what he does for Tim Burton is always marvelous. I think he really just nails the nail on the head. But maybe it's me and Tim Burton, you know. Remember the Batman thing he did with the penguin and all this? It's always so dark and dreary and weird and, you know, Edward Scissorhands and all these things that are just kind of like, you know, for God's sake, have the sunshine one day, would you?
Well, I'm kind of with you because, you know, Tim Burton has made a lot of movies, and I think he's, in my opinion, he's sort of hit and miss. Like, he remade Planet of the Apes way back when.
Right.
Alice in Wonderland just, a couple of years ago, and that thing made zillions, and I didn't see that, but I wasn't totally interested. But sometimes when he hits with his sort of quirky and very visual style, it's great. Now,
visual, sure.
Well, my guilty pleasure of all time is Mars Attacks. I don't know if you've ever seen Mars Attacks.
Just on yesterday.
Oh, my. See, that came out the same summer as Independence Day.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Independence Day, Alien Invasion, and took itself way too seriously, and, you know, Will Smith is great in it, but, you know.
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was a 4th of July opening.
Exactly.
And Will Smith brought in $100 million.
Yes.
You know, that's when Will Smith was, everybody decided, if Will Smith is in it, and you do it on 4th of July, every movie will make $1 billion, and that didn't turn out to be so, but it did for Independence Day.
Well, Will Smith will be back in Men in Black 3 in about 2 or 3 weeks, and so I'm sure it'll be playing through July 4th.
We'll
but
see.
But Tim Burton can really nail it. I thought Edward Scissorhands was pretty fabulous and just sort of a unique, quirky thing. Vincent Price being in it as well was really great. People hated Mars Attacks. They, oh, man, Independence Day is really amazing.
Well, no, but Mars Attacks was supposed to be ridiculous, and
oh,
it was.
And it's so wonderfully crazy. Tom Jones in it.
Oh, my God. And you got Jack Nicholson. Wasn't Jack Nicholson the president?
He played about 2 or 3 roles. Remember, he was cowboy guy.
Oh, yeah,
but it
yeah.
was so off the charts and silly and wacky.
And then having Slim Whitman come out, you know, this is the thing that scares the aliens
save,
to death.
Yeah,
know,
makes your heads blow up. You know, I thought the silliness and craziness that was inspired. But for
why
me,
would
Tim,
anyone compare that movie to Independence Day? It was like comparing something Mel Brooks would do to something serious.
It came out the same summer. So Independence Day, you know, broke all these records, and people just thought, huh? And Mars Attacks, whereas I felt the other way around. I
thought it was very cute. I enjoyed it.
Oh, I cracked up. It still comes on, and, you know, we're your friends, you know, and those little voices, you know, we're your friends, and then they roast you.
Roast everybody, yeah. No, I thought it was very clever, and I thought it was a lot of fun to watch. And so, all right, so you got me with a hit by Tim Burton. You got me a hit on that one. But.
Well, we'll see how he does, because I still think The Avengers is going to play through, at least for the next few weeks. I mean, I think Dark Shadows is pretty much the only thing opening up against it, and it's a very different audience. But we'll see, you know, if Tim Burton works, if it works this time. Alice in Wonderland was, I believe, his last film, and it made $350 million or something. It was huge. So,
you know who I saw, and I got to remember her name. Please, Bill, remember her name without you having to tell me. Please, Bill.
The woman in...
Who's in Titanic?
Oh, Kate Winslet?
Jesus, Penica.
That's okay. That's what I'm here for.
So that's right. Thank you. Thank you. That's what my wife's there for at home. I always have some... Wherever I'm going, I have somebody that says, here, Bill, that's what you need to know. Kate Winslet and Johnny Depp. And it was, I think, Return to Neverland or something was called.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he's the writer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Yes.
I liked it. I really think that Johnny Depp's a pretty great actor. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I enjoyed. They got worse as they went along, the Pirates of the Caribbean thing. But I still think him as a character actor, is just really fabulous. I think he's so good.
Well, to me, I felt one of his greatest roles was Donnie Brasco, where he just was head-to-head with Al Pacino, and I think he held his own, and I think he had a toughness about him that I don't see in some of his other roles. There's another film called Nick of Time, which gets a little absurd, but it's him and... why can't I think of the guy? But it's...
I can't help you.
anyway, it'll come to
what's
you.
What's the earliest Johnny Depp movie you can think of? I saw a movie a while back on Premiums, one of the HBOs or whatever, and it was Johnny Depp when he was quite young.
Was it called Cry Baby? It's an early John Waters film who's pretty notorious for some of his outrageous stuff, but there was a film called Cry Baby that was sort of a parody of teen flicks from the 50s and 60s.
It was one I told you about. I already told you about this one, Don Juan DeMarco.
Oh, yeah, with Brando.
Well, he was pretty young in that. I mean, I think he was pretty young in that.
He was.
But anyway, I thought that was a very fun movie. I thought it was excellently done and all that.
Yeah, and What's Eating Gilbert Grape is another good one. I thought it was good.
Right.
Very young Leonardo DiCaprio in that one. But
now, I did like Corpse Bride. You know, I enjoyed the animation things that Tim Burton's really weird with his animated stuff, but it's fun weird to me. It's
very creative.
Yeah, I concern myself with what he's eating and smoking and drinking. Okay, so that's that. All right, let's talk about other things that are going on before we take our break, and then when we get back from our break, we're going to talk about the Palm Theater with Jim D and all the things that are happening there. Other things that are out that I'm glad to see that Pirates Band of Misfits has done okay.
It looked like
it started and just went floomp, but now it seems to be, you know, holding its own a little bit. Not greatly, but, you know, enough to get kids to go see it.
It is tough competition because I do think, you know, the vacuum cleaner this whole week or the last weekend was the Avengers. It's like, here's the Avengers, and it makes $200 million, which broke every record as far as a 3-day opening was concerned. And the next film made 300 million or something like that. So obviously, you know, something like 80 or 90% of movie goers last weekend and this week went to see one movie, and that was The Avengers. And I think it's going to be one of the biggest films ever.
All right, here's the thing that I don't know what to tell you. I'll tell you what I like him best at, and that's Sacha Baron Cohen. And I like him best as the voice of the king little funny animal in Madagascar. And the continuing cartoon series, he still does the voice, and I think it's a very funny voice, and I think he's excellent at it. Borat, because it was brand new. Borat was, you know, it was one of those things that came at you because you hadn't seen anything quite like it before.
Oh, he's got a new one too.
Why? No, that's what I was going to tell you.
Oh.
And so then he did the fashionista thing he did, you know, and that was kind of me like, okay, you're trying too hard. And now with the general, I think it's called the general.
Oh, the dictator.
Dictator. he's the one that spilled ashes on who was it? Matthew Broderick's clothes or something at the red carpet, and I saw him the other day doing a promo for his movie. I think it was on the Today Show, and I'm sorry, but I'll tell you what, pal, unless you get back to what you were doing in the beginning and be as funny as that, it's not going to work.
Well, you know, his brand of humor is, I kind of characterize it as cringe humor. You're like, oh my, he didn't just do that, you know. I mean, it's funny and it's kind of outrageous and amusing, but it's also like you're kind of, oh, you know. he's a very interesting
guy for
yeah,
sure.
I mean, the way he gets his laughs are through kind of outrageous means. So we'll see how the dictator does. I mean, perhaps it'll be interesting counter programming against the Avengers and Dark Shadows.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
And he was in the Scorsese film Hugo, and so
I didn't see that.
He is, you know, I mean, when he's not playing his outrageous characters and doing this rather, you know, offensive humor, well, that's my take. But yeah, he can be a good actor. So
offensive humor.
Sorry,
when he's got his head in some guy's rear end or vice versa, I think that would offend people a little bit. Let me give you phone numbers in case you'd like to call and talk to Jim. 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what's going on at the Palm.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul. How does a little shoe store like Mike's in the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Southside Promenade.
Let me mention something about Mike's Shoes, too. It's tomorrow, and we got a little bit late on getting this word out. Tomorrow at Mike's Shoes, we're going to have a Clark Trunk Show. Clark's is what I wear. I wear Clark's shoes because I work. And if you need comfortable shoes and you got flat feet like I like it, like Donald Duck, they really work good. Those Clark jobs are great. And so they're going to have a trunk show at 11 o'clock to 11 to 3, I think. Then you get your prizes and your thingies and your gifts and discounts and yummies and all that. Okay. So that's what's happening at Mike's Shoes tomorrow on the Central Coast. All right, we're going to talk about what's going on at the Palm. This apparently, it's interesting. People that I know, and this doesn't happen to me that much, where somebody says, "What do you know about the What do you know about the kid with the bike?" I go, "I hear it's great. I haven't had a chance to see it yet." You know, and because I'm not going to see it this weekend, probably because I got people. But
it's gone. Kid with the bike is gone. Yesterday was the last day. We got Marley and two new movies today.
All right. So Kid with a Bike's gone, huh? Did you do good with it?
We did well with it. Very mixed reaction. The filmmakers of Kid with a Bike are the Dardenne brothers. They're from Belgium. And they do create a very real atmosphere in their films. But it's very stark, very kind of raw. And, you know, some people came out of Kid with a Bike thinking it was pretty amazing. Others going, what in the world was that? It's creating a reality that has not great redeeming qualities to it.
This is very, very real. This is the fun part.
The
fun part always about the Palm Theater is exactly that. Is that you sometimes come out and go, was that the greatest thing you've ever seen? And then sometimes you walk out and go, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Little Ponyo kids. Let's get on the phone and say hello to. Hello?
Hi, this is Steve up in North County.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good. I just read the little article about Jim and another fellow doing old movies, old campy movies or whatever, and I wasn't aware of it. But I wonder if he knows about X the Unknown.
Yeah, that's from the 50s, and it's this stuff that comes back from space, as I basically vaguely remember seeing in the film probably when I was 10 or something. Am I getting close?
Well, the way I remember it is like Army soldiers on a beach with the bright lights, and seems like every scene is at nighttime, and the fog rolls in, and you hear the radioactivity getting louder or weaker, and then a soldier would go crazy and run towards the ocean and into this dark fog bank, and then you'd hear the radioactivity get stronger, and you'd hear him scream. That's all I remember of the movie. That went on for like an hour and a half.
Wow.
And it was like the cheapest, cheesiest movie. It was just the sound of radioactivity. And I have no idea how the ending is. But I just, I'm kind of obsessed over this movie, thinking that it must have cost almost $10,000 to make. And that's after they paid everybody.
You know what's interesting is I think of I didn't see a lot of monster pictures as a kid, because after the first two that I saw, I had nightmares. I mean, I was too young to see them, I guess. And after I saw them, I just was like, okay, I don't need to see any more of that stuff. I'd watch on TV. I'd watch Godzilla, with Raymond Burr and all that. But once you got to know the plot, Godzilla's going to get wiped out at the end. It was okay. You could deal with it. But I look at things like the Black Lagoon, and you look at how totally ridiculous this guy in a rubber suit is. I mean, it's just, there's no imagination even behind it, really.
Oh.
And yet it scared the bejeebers out of us.
Yeah, I kind
of
disagree on that, because as I remember X the Unknown, the whole monster is just the sound of radioactivity getting louder or quieter.
Boy, that's funny.
Well, Steve,
and it's just every 5 or 8 minutes a soldier would go crazy and run off there. You'd hear it get louder. You'd hear him scream. And that was it. I thought, wow.
That's funny.
Sometimes the cheaper they are, the better they are. But, maybe not the case here. But, Steve, if you have computer access, I'll bet you can find this movie on a DVD. If you go to Amazon or look online, I bet you can find this movie. I bet it's available out there.
Yeah, I'll get my son on that. But on Bill's point on the movies being so campy, cheap, I remember when Exorcist came out, and I did not want to go to see it with my dad. I used the excuse that it was a school night. And he went with my sister, and I'm not kidding you, it took a long time before they went to sleep. When I went to see it with him, thank God I could see the microphone over her bed for a couple of seconds in the head-spinning sequence.
Really?
Yeah, and I go, oh, I was surprised that they left it in.
That's
interesting. You could see the microphone, and then I realized, okay, this is not a message from God to me.
You know what? I didn't go see the movie on purpose, because I was watching Johnny Carson, and the guy that was, who did the movie? William Friedkin. William Friedkin.
Yeah.
And he said, we use subliminal cuts in the movie. And so Johnny Carson said, what do you mean? He said, well, remember back in the 50s when they put once every 24 frames, they throw a Coca-Cola in there. So you'd get thirstier as you watched a movie and you'd want to go to the lobby and buy a Coke. And so they outlawed that. The Federal Trade Commission or whoever it was said, okay, you can't do that anymore. But they never said you couldn't do it in a movie. So Johnny Carson asked the best obvious question. He said, well, what do you see when you see a subliminal cut? And the guy was, I was so surprised that he sort of answered it this way because it was very honest about what he says. He said, you're going to see something you're not going to see, but you anticipate it and it makes you more afraid.
Hmm.
But it's not, so it's worse than anything you were going to see, but that anticipation made your subconscious get really flipped out. So
yeah.
I thought, well, if this guy's manipulating my noodle, I'm not going to go see the dang movie. my noodle's not well to begin with, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've seen The Exorcist several times, and that microphone is prominent. It's not subliminal.
Interesting. Well, yeah,
it is. It's right over the bed. I don't know if it's the head spinning thing. She's in the bed for some time, but it's there. And I was just grateful that either the movie was man-made or it was God letting me know everything's going to be okay.
And, you know, one last thing, Steve, as an aside. I'm still sitting here waiting, as you are, too, to see what happens with Wang Cheng Cheng, Wang Cheng, the guy in China.
Yeah.
We'll see how that turns out. I just want to mention that.
My thing on it is look, the guy's getting a job here in the United States.
We'll see. I mean, I'm hoping you're dead right.
We need jobs here.
I'm hoping you're dead right, but I'm not sure that he's not going to end up dead first. But we'll see. Okay, thanks for calling in today.
All right.
Take care.
Right.
Thanks, Steve.
All right.
I remember X the Unknown. I don't remember the movie, but I remember the title, X the Unknown. Bob would have known.
Bob Whiteford would have known.
He would have known the whole cast.
Yeah, the two movies I saw that. I saw The Blob with Steve McQueen.
Oh, that's a good one.
And that scared me.
That's a good one.
At some point, the only thing is the special effects when they had it over the whole cafeteria there, whatever that thing was.
It was in a movie theater, actually. Remember, it was coming through the walls, and everyone's come out of the movie theater.
Showed that kind of that wasn't so hot, you know, that part of it. But it was when it was going down and getting the guy's arm and he's screaming, you know, that was like, well, I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And I saw The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And had to do with the atomic bomb and everything. And The Mole People, where these guys are exploring, they fall in a big hole, and here were these mole people. It scared the living bejeebers out of me. I don't know why.
You know, Bill, if you haven't seen Day the Earth Stood Still recently, it holds up so well. That is a great, great movie. You know, I mean, I don't know if you remember when Michael Rennie comes down and he wants to speak to all the leaders of the world. And there's a guy from the White House says, we can't do that. Nobody's going to sit down at the same table. You know, we're not getting along with anybody. I mean, it's really timely and
that's
very, very perceptive. It's worth seeing again.
And that had an interesting, I remember it because, you know, again, it scared the belittle and bejeebers. That had one of those high-pitched background noises in it a lot, you know, not a radioactive type sound, but just a high pitched kind of.
Oh, on the sound, on the soundtrack they use a theremin.
Was that called?
Yeah, it's a theremin. It's this thing where you move your hand and it makes that woof sound.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, they did that a lot, of course, in monster films and science fiction, all that.
Yeah, it was a nice, scary sound, but it's an actual instrument where you move your hand towards it, and it makes those interesting sounds.
I had no idea. So what we learned right here from Jim D.
Theremin.
Whenever the name of the show is on Friday.
Well, all right. You know, there is a film about the theremin. It's about the guy who created it. He wanted it to be a legitimate musical instrument. And it's in a lot of soundtracks.
Well, I admit it was used a lot.
Yeah, nowadays they can do it with synthesizers,
well,
but this was something
true.
Where you actually had to figure out how to move your hand in front of this antenna or something, but it's called the theremin.
But how interesting, because if you go back to the original Star Wars series, and so they were able to make these crazy effects, and they talked about hitting the guy wire on the radio tower and some of these different things they use for noise.
Mm-hmm.
But it was different than what they can do now with synthesizing noises.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they had to create the noise and then manipulate it with a computer, which was like, so we're watching the ultimate, you know, the steps of how this thing, you know, evolved, which is kind of cool. All right, let's not talk about Boy on the Bike because he rode off, and that's the end of that. All right, so we got the dictator. We're not talking about him because he's not coming to the palm anyway. All right, here's what I want to talk about. Footnote, and I haven't read much about Footnote, so tell me about Footnote.
Footnote is from Israel. It won an Oscar nomination for Best Foreign Language Film. It is a comedy, and I haven't seen it. The print got here about 3 or 4 hours ago. It's supposedly about a father and son who have the same name, kind of like my father and me.
I think I do know what this movie's about.
And they're giving a lifetime award to the dad. By mistake, they give it to his son because he has the same name. You know, he's Junior or whatever it may be.
And the son is just torn on what to say to his father and not say or whatever.
And it looks very, very funny.
I saw the previews. The previews were at a number of different movies during the film festival.
Ah.
Because when I, now when you, it was funny, when I first saw it, I'm going, I'm not sure what this is about, you know, I don't really know. And then when you just started talking about it, I thought, oh no, I remember this preview. It does look like it would be an absolute hoot. I mean, imagine the circumstance of that thing where you have this Lifetime Achievement Award and it goes to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And it's the guy's son.
It sounds like a simple premise, but if you can go online and watch the preview, or the fact that it was nominated for a Best Foreign Language Film Oscar, it's supposed to be fabulous. They're actually comparing it. There's a great review in the Ticket, in the Tribune, and they're comparing it to a Coen Brothers film, not only from the comedic elements, but the way it's filmed, and it's supposedly done very well. I'm really looking forward to that one.
All right, we have Damsel in Distress.
That's done, too. We Have a Pope is also premiering.
Well, how come I'm always got? Why do I use this rag that I get on Thursdays? I mean, what good is it doing to use
go
this?
Go to my ad and you can read. It's on the first page.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm going to go to the ad.
No, we're holding over Marley, which is about the great reggae singer. It's not the dog. It is Bob Marley and the Wailers from Jamaica, who were, you know, still incredibly popular, even though Bob Marley died at the very young age of 36. But this is an incredibly well-researched documentary on the reggae singer. And this is our second week, and it's doing quite well.
Footnote is about.
And then Footnote is the father-son. And then the third one is brand new. It's called We Have a Pope, and another comedy. The filmmaker-writer is Nanni Moretti. He's made a number of films. But this is about, the preview of this is a hoot as well. They go to the Vatican, and here's all these bishops and cardinals, and they have to vote on a new pope, right? Well, as they're praying, they're all saying to themselves, "Don't let it be me. Don't let it be me."
Really?
And then they
oh,
all
fun.
So they vote for this one guy, and Michel Piccoli, I believe, is his name, wonderful actor. And you know, we're talking about the reluctant pope here. He doesn't want to be pope. And bring in Nanni Moretti, who's a wonderful Italian actor, very funny. He's going to be the Pope's therapist or counselor. And, of course, he goes to the cardinals and says, well, can I talk about his childhood? They go, no. Well, can we talk about this? No, it's the Pope, you know. And it looks very
that
funny.
That does look very funny.
Very funny.
That's interesting. Can the Pope say no? I don't think so, because I think it's considered divine voting or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's inspired or something like that. I think you have to take the job.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to get the job, but this guy has voted and rather reluctantly, but then he needs a little bit of therapy. So it looks quite funny. And the filmmaker, Nanni Moretti, has made some other very fine films. I think he's been called the Italian Woody Allen, even though he isn't as broad as Woody Allen can be. But he's made a number of films, and this one looks really charming.
I hope I have the name right of the character, but I don't think I do. But in one of my favorite movies that apparently I'm the only one that liked in the whole wide world was John Steinbeck's Cannery Row. And so I've always loved the movie. I just think the movie is great. But anyway,
Nick Nolte and
Deborah Winger. Mm-hmm. And so the guy who was like the head bum, I can't think of what his character's name was, but he was kind of like the head bum. He just passed away.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. And then there was a guy, I think it was Angel. I think the big black guy who was a little bit dim-witted was named Angel. Anyway, but so he went to see a fortune teller. And the fortune teller said, because he liked to dress up like Lincoln, and he always had this top hat on, you know. And so, and these were all homeless guys. It was just a crazy bunch of homeless guys on Cannery Row. And so the woman said, I have to tell you something. You, Mr. Lincoln, you have to go to Washington and run the country. And he goes, I'm not Mr. Washington. I just wearing the hat. And he goes, nope, as far as this ball says, you're the guy, and you have to go to Washington. And so he sits up in this, you know, little hill by a cypress tree, and he's got tears running out of his eyes, and he's like, I don't know how to run a country, you know, and it's so cute. And then he finally comes down and says to the head bum guy, he says, I can't go to Washington. I ain't got the poop. I thought it was the funniest thing in the whole world. Anyway, I thought it was a very cute thing. I don't know how I got from where you were with the Pope to where I got from that. I have no idea.
That's okay.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we don't have to make any sense. What the hell? It's our time. It's our time together. Anything else going? Okay, we should. Well, there's a lot of stuff coming out in the summer. A lot of things coming out this summer. Should we mention a few of them? Yeah.
Well, the one I want to mention that I get a million requests for, and I'll probably go home and have 10 requests, emails. The film The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel is opening at the Palm on May 25th. It's for Memorial Day weekend. This film, we've been showing the preview since December. I think we've talked about this before. Fox Searchlight, who is distributing the film, was originally going to release it in March. That's why the preview has been running, you know, for such a long time. They moved it to May, but the reason I want to mention it, Bill, is the fact that I get requests probably 10 to 15 a day. When are you going to get this movie? Because they've been watching the preview for 6 months.
Yeah, they've been running the preview for a long time.
It's May 25th, and it's got Judi Dench.
And it looks absolutely wonderful.
It's getting great reviews. Right now it's playing in the big cities like New York, San Francisco, L.A., and it will get to San Luis Obispo on May 25th. But it's got Judi Dench and Maggie Smith and Bill Cunningham, who you know right, from the Full Monty. And it just looks like it's my version of the Avengers. It's this royalty of British actors and actresses, and they're in India. It's like Slumdog Millionaire for seniors. There you go.
That's funny. All right, let's talk about some of the stuff coming out. And if you know about any of this stuff, you holler and say, I've heard about it or I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
May 18th, Battleship.
Very special effects laden thing. It looks like the Navy. Maybe you would go for this, Bill, against aliens and stuff. And of course, it just looks special effects, aliens, battle royal kind of stuff.
We consider the Vietnamese aliens. I'm not going to worry about that.
Okay.
Okay. Men in Black 3, and it's going to star Josh Brolin
as a young Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
It looks really funny.
It does look like it's going to be. And they said he practiced and watched these the other movies to practice how he talked and all that. And I'm told it's amazingly weird almost to see him with this voice coming out of him. And mm-hmm. It's not him.
It looks funny.
Okay, Snow White and the Huntsman. That's going to be one of these strange things. Kristen Stewart's pout. So she's Kristen Stewart. She's the one that did all the Twilight Jabbers, right? Yes, she did. Is that Kristen Stewart? Yeah. So anyway, so she's. I remember seeing a preview of this. So she's going to be in one of these oddball movies again. But the whole Twilight series, even though the young people really love it, I understand that. But the whole, to us older people, that are older and cogity, it was kind of weird to us.
I confess, I haven't seen them.
Moonrise Kingdom.
That is a new film by Wes Anderson. His previous films included Bottle Rocket. What are some of the other titles? He has sort of a very interesting following. Bill Murray is in that film. It's supposed to be quite good. It's very stylish. Wes Anderson has a good following. He's the director of the film.
Cool. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. So anyway, I thought the two Madagascar movies were both equally fun, and the kids like it, and hopefully they didn't drop the ball on this one.
Or not enough action.
Or something. Are they saying that?
What?
Are they saying that?
No, I'm just saying, you're...
Oh, that's right, not enough action, right. Something immediately has to happen when you turn on the thing. Safety Not Guaranteed, Sundance, a big hit, Sundance.
I've heard that title. I don't know anything about that one. I think it's about time travel.
Okay. Rock of Ages. Don't know. Tom Cruise and Alec Baldwin in a rock musical. Can finally rest easy. Choreographer and Hairspray director Adam Shankman helms this retelling of the Broadway musical about two aspiring artists, Diego Boneta and Julianne Hough, hoping to make it a big in hair metal infused late 80s L.A. Well, Julianne Hough is that girl who was the dancer on Dancing with the Stars, and she's just now starting to do movies, so that's interesting.
Wow.
I saw a thing I didn't get. I was talking to people on the phone this morning, and I didn't get a chance to really pay attention to what I was seeing on the screen. But I think, I'm guessing that I'm right about this. The How to Train Your Dragon, the cartoon, they're making a Broadway stage play.
Wow.
And you should see the stuff they've made for this movie. These characters and these dragons and these things that, that move and articulate, they say, they talked to the guy who stars in the young man stars and said, it's absolutely like talking to something real. It's not like talking to a mechanical anything.
Wow.
It blinks its eyes, it moves, it twinks its nose, it does the whole thing. And some guy sits inside and kind of powers it all and does it. And then they have the How to Train Your Dragon was, they had a flying dragon. And so they said for how long? I can't remember. Quite a few minutes in the movie, you actually see this dragon flying. What they do is they have a moving background, and you see this dragon fly. But it looks like an amazing production, and it should be really pretty cool.
And it's on Broadway.
It's going to be on Broadway, yeah. Wow. So that's pretty neat.
Wow, wow.
All right, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. I think Tim Burton is involved in that one. But as we all know, Abraham Lincoln was a vampire hunter.
There you go.
Sorry.
G.I. Joe Retaliation, we'll just skip. Spider-Man's coming back out.
Yeah, they're totally rebooting the Spider-Man. They've already had three. This is the fourth one, but I guess they're going back to the origin. We have a new guy playing Spider-Man, and I don't know. They did it with Superman, and now they're kind of redoing Spider-Man again.
Well, I hope this works out okay, because I thought they were cute, you know. They had their weak moments, but I actually think the second and third were better than the first, and that was the Ice Age movies.
Oh, yeah.
So they have a new one coming out called Continental Drift, and I really do. I think number two was better than number one, and number three was better than number two, so we'll see.
I think that one's about climate change, actually.
Okay, and then here's the doozy, I suppose, July 20th, The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I think that one is going to be huge. You know, the unfortunate thing is, like, instead of looking at, is The Avengers a good movie? I hear it's really good. Is The Dark Knight Rises a good movie? We know it's going to be box office bonanza
right.
And the comparisons are, oh, is it going to do as good as The Avengers or whatever? You know, let's hope it's a really good movie. The first Batman reboot, Christopher Nolan, I thought was pretty great. And then Batman Begins, I guess it was, when they...
Right.
Second one, for me, everyone thought it was incredible, made $500 million, but boy, it was long. It was 2 hours and 45 minutes, and you sort of going back and forth, is Batman a hero or is he a vigilante? That sort of concept,
which was
good, but I felt they just... And then, of course, Heath Ledger as the Joker was pretty incredible. But this is the new one.
Well, here's what I have to... I think Heath Ledger, it was ridiculous that Heath Ledger was the best supporting actor. I mean, the movie was carried by Heath Ledger. Let's be... I don't think anybody would doubt that, really. I mean, he was the movie.
Oh, what a portrayal of the Joker. I mean, let's think of Cesar Romero back in the TV show. And Heath Ledger was very, very scary. And he was a good Joker.
Now, they've actually already changed the name of this movie, and that's The Neighborhood Watch, because of what's happened, you know, this young man getting shot. So they've actually just changed it to Watch. It's already, they're going to change the name of that to Watch, which I wasn't surprised because I knew they were coming out with a movie called Neighborhood Watch. That had nothing to do with, you know, nothing. It does have to do with Neighborhood Watch per se, but when that thing came out, I thought, I bet they changed it because it's not a good idea.
Well, you know, another interesting title change, and it'll be interesting to see what happens because, you know, hopefully I'm going to get this movie, the new Woody Allen film. It has Alec Baldwin. It's got a lot of great stars in it. The original title, all takes place in Rome. He's not, you know, he's not hanging out in Manhattan anymore. He's making his films abroad, it seems. The new one is called To Rome with Love. The original title was Nero Fiddled, which I like a lot better. But we'll just see if the Woody Allen movie will be up to Midnight in Paris, which last summer became his biggest movie ever.
All right, we have a phone call. Hello.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Ann.
Back to the kid on the bike, you had made a comment about something that there wasn't any redeeming quality about.
I think I was talking about some of their previous movies. This one has some redemption to it, but some of the Dardenne brothers' other films, boy.
Because to me that movie was all about redemption.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
That last shot was so spectacular where he literally saves himself and gets on the bike and goes home.
Yes.
Rather than taking the wrong path and making some bad choices. So it was really a wonderful film.
Oh, thanks.
I just thought it was fabulous.
Oh, great. I'm glad you connected with it because some people come out and they kind of go, you know, because it is, you know, there's no car wrecks or car chases. I mean, it's very real, very true to life and, you know, it was redeeming. I was wrong before. I would say some of their previous, I think two of their other movies, and boy, they are very...
Did they do the Bull one? The Mafia, Cow Mafia, which is a Belgian film?
I don't know. The one I saw was called Rosetta, and there was another one called The Promise, and both of those were very stark, very harsh films.
Yeah, this was really incredibly sweet, and I must say, if what happened in the film was real, then Belgium must have the most extraordinarily kind and understanding youth criminal system in the entire universe.
Yeah, you could say that.
I mean, I was amazed, you know. If that had happened in America, that little kid would have been judged an adult and slammed into jail forever.
Yeah.
You know.
And thanks for buzzing. I got to go because I got to take a break.
Bye.
I thank you, man.
Thanks,
Ann. I appreciate you, Jim. Thanks for being here this week. We had a great time and talked about everything in the whole wide world. Palm Theater, air conditioned, solar powered, great popcorn, great soda pops, great candy, good prices and nice people. And you should go to the Palm Theater this weekend and see one of these great movies.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, sir. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
to get your garden back in shape with Farm Supply. Hi, this is Nicole, and I have some great news. Vegetables and herbs are at Farm Supply, ready for you to take home, plant, and enjoy. We're proud to be your local source for all of your home and garden needs. You can trust our knowledgeable staff to help you find the right product, technique, or helpful hint to make your yard blossom. Our staff can recommend what vegetables and herbs will grow best in your area. Ask us about what soils, herbicides, insecticides, and other tools you need for a successful growing season. Water is vital in keeping your yard in full bloom. Talk to one of our irrigation specialists about easy and economical ways to water your yard and conserve at the same time. Spring also welcomes chicks. Chicks are now hatching and arriving weekly at a Farm Supply near you. Visit our new locations in Paso Robles on Ramada Drive and in Buellton on McMurray Road. We're also located in Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, and San Luis Obispo. At Farm Supply, we have everything you need for the farmer in you.
One of the most common places you may encounter noise is at home. Noise-induced hearing loss can occur from prolonged exposure to everyday household items, such as lawn equipment, power tools, toys, MP3 players, stereos, TV sound systems, appliances such as blenders, hand mixers, and food processors, also hair dryers. Listening to these items longer than 30 minutes at loud levels can be dangerous. Have your loved one's hearing checked today. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Just like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
All right, right there, 2775 divided by 4. That's a wrap for this week. I hope you had a good weekend. I think it was pretty good. And then we're going to have, of course, a nice weekend here. And then we'll get together again on Monday at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones. And don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica. Bye, bye,
bye. Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails.